foundation felt. You know, if you are fatigued, if you have brain fog, if you're chronically inflamed and in pain and not able to think clearly and perform well day to day, that's really going to impact your business success or financial pursuits in a negative way. So being tip top physical condition and having the mental clarity, the verbal fluency, the memory of a high performance individual is going to give you such a competitive edge and enable you to really excel in all your business endeavors on a whole nother level.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Moeller Real Estate and Business Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Moeller, and on this podcast, we will be interviewing guests that have made their mark in real estate, in business, and in other areas of life. Listening to podcasts myself has helped me in so many different ways and continues to do so. If you're a real estate investor or an entrepreneur or aspiring to be either, or just someone that wants to learn, you've come to the right place. An easy way to have an impact is to share this episode with friends or family, provide a review, or just spread the word. We greatly appreciate it, and now let's get to the show. Welcome, everyone, to the Moeller Real Estate and Business Podcast. Very excited for today's show, Mr. Ryan Kennedy. Ryan, how are you doing today, man?
Phenomenal, Phil. Good to chat with you, man.
Awesome. Thanks for being on. Ryan, for the audience, Ryan is a functional medicine practitioner, a board-certified clinical nutritionist. By the way, Ryan, these are big words that you're making me use here out of the gate, so you're going to have to help me out with a little bit. By the way, he is also a real estate investor. We will get into that maybe a little bit later. But Ryan's passion and purpose is to educate others on important choices so they can optimize their health. So Ryan, I really want to start there. And well, before I get into why the heck is a functional medicine practitioner on my podcast, tell me what got you into this field, kind of your backstory and what led you to this. And then we'll go into why you're on my podcast. But what brought you into this field?
I got interested in natural health at a very early age, though, so really from a pain to purpose journey, where at the age of 14, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. And being a young guy, I didn't really understand the extent of what causes this and what options are available. But I remember her going through just the conventional medical system, you know, really chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, the standard of care in medical oncology. And she received a lot of questionable advice at the time of, you know, what you eat doesn't matter. No herbs or vitamins or natural therapies are going to help you. Your only option, if you want to get better, is to do these very harsh and, you know, chemical filled pharmaceutical drugs and hope for the best. And so that's what she did. You know, this was going back before social media and internet research was quite as prevalent as it is today. And unfortunately, Phil, she passed away 2 years later. At the age of 54. And this was a big wake up in my mind of realizing, number one, if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. You know, while my mom was going through this cancer journey, she wasn't worried about what car she was driving or what clothes she was wearing or any of the materialistic things that we pursue in our society for most of our lives. She was worried about, hey, how can I spend more time with the people I care about? How can I get healthy and live a longer life? And when you really look at that, you start to realize what really matters in our lives. And so that was a big wake up call for me. And then number two, it really got me thinking from an early age, you know, 16 at the time. And it's like, well, why do people get sick? How do you prevent this? How can I live a long, healthy life? And that's what sent me down this path initially. And so I studied kinesiology in my undergrad, very centered more on the physical side of things and fitness and physical therapy. And as I was working in my physical therapy clinic, I realized early on, this is great. I was helping a lot of stroke victims. I was helping a lot of people that were in car accidents and suffered really debilitating injuries improve. But I also realized, Phil, if you're not dialing in your nutrition, your sleep, your stress management, doing lab testing to determine imbalances in your gut health and your hormones and nutrient deficiencies, well, you're only really tackling one pillar of health with the physical fitness side of things. And so that's when I went back to post-grad school, studied naturopathic medicine and clinical nutrition to really dive deeper into a more broad, holistic view of health, because all of these different areas of our bodies and our health is interconnected.
Okay.
And so that's what brings me to where I am today, where I run a full-time practice and consult with awesome patients like yourself in terms of really the A to Z of health, helping people optimize their diets, their supplementation, their training, their recovery, their stress management, their mindset, really looking at all of these things and really helping people design efficient and effective protocols to optimize their quality of life and their longevity and their performance.
Well, I want to get into that more, but you said so. You said if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And I've also heard a different quote that a healthy person has a million dreams. A sick person has one, right? They just want to be healthy. So that speaks a lot to just the preventative stuff and taking care of yourself so that we talk a lot about on this podcast about vision and purpose and other things. Well, you got to take care of yourself to be able to pursue those things. So I think that sets up the next question for you, quite frankly, is you're on a business and real estate podcast. We talk about all kinds of things, professional success and personal success. Why is health so important to success in whatever is important to people, whatever success means to our listeners?
It's the foundation, Phil. If you are fatigued, if you have brain fog, if you're chronically inflamed and in pain and not able to think clearly and perform well day to day, that's really going to impact your business success or financial pursuits in a negative way. So being tip-top physical condition and having the mental clarity, the verbal fluency, the memory of a high-performance individual is going to give you such a competitive edge and enable you to really excel in all your business endeavors on a whole nother level. And having that baseline motivation and being able to get up and get after it and wake up feeling refreshed and energized and be able to crank through 8, 9, 10 hours worth of work and not feel burned out and not feel like you're struggling to have high levels of productivity and output, dude, that's essential. I think anyone could relate to that.
And I think if so, first of all, I didn't say this, so I apologize in the intro, but Ryan and I got to know each other maybe a year and a half ago or so. I started kind of asking him some questions, seeing how his program worked. And I've worked with him directly as a student or patient of his since I think May of 2023. And I've seen some major results, not just physically, but really all the stuff you talked about, cognitive, energy levels, things that motivate my health journey now. I should have said that earlier, but thanks for that. The other thing that I've thought about, Ryan, is if you just want to talk dollars and cents, if you spend money on health and preventative health now, in my opinion, you're going to save yourself decades of spending, hopefully decades, quite frankly, in the future
Yep.
because it's an investment. Literally, the dollar return on an investment in health is probably going to pay for itself. Have you thought through that, or can you give any insights to that?
It's enormous, Phil. I mean, the amount of medical care and spending people pay for in their later decades of life is insane. With hospital visits and pharmaceutical drugs and all sorts of other things that people have to spend money on when they get sick or if they have any health issues. So you have kind of two buckets this falls into. You have the opportunity cost of these are hidden costs that are hard to quantify. It's like if you're not feeling and performing your best and you are chronically fatigued and feel lousy every day, well, guess what? That's going to impact your ability to advance in your career and qualify for promotions and kind of work your way up in different companies because you're not a high performance, high productivity employee. Same if you're an entrepreneur. That's really where this manifests is how is this going to impact your leadership skills, your ability to really drive the business forward, and also in investing. A lot of decision fatigue, a lot of things that, as we're kind of quantifying different decisions in our investment choices, dude, it comes back to your health. So it's massive. And that's kind of the business and financial component of success, but you also have the other avenues of success. If you are feeling tired and you're in a poor mood, you're very irritable, you have a low libido, you don't have very good sex drive, how do you think that's going to impact your marriage? How is that going to impact your primary relationship? I can tell you what, it's not going to be great. Same with your family. Are you going to be able to show up as the best mother or the best father that you can be if you're pouring from an empty cup and you feel just exhausted at the end of every day? And then there's also other areas of life adventures and fulfillments and all these other buckets that you can quantify as far as success goes that are going to be handicapped if you're suboptimally functioning as a human.
And I think so. Why this resonates with me so much is because I think people's mindset around why they do things is so important. And for me, my mindset in my 20s was I wanted to look good for different reasons that I probably shouldn't talk about on the show, right? But as it shifted and as I had kids, my mindset on why I wanted to be healthy changed to energy, longevity, and other things. So I think your mindset and why is so important to set it. We'll get into the tactics and some things on what people maybe should do here, but I think framing your mindset around health is so important. The other shift I had, and health is different for me than a lot of other things, where I can get instant gratification from health because if I work out today, I'll sleep better tonight and I'll feel better tomorrow. I can already get the benefits of working out today, tomorrow, as soon as tomorrow. Whereas a lot of investments or business or other things that you do, you might not get the rewards for a month, a year, or even longer. So I guess I think that this, like the beginning part of this episode so important for people to think about is what is your mindset around health? And quite frankly, do you need to shift your mindset around health? I think that's a question people need to ask themselves.
100%, man. And like you said, it's about the short and the long term. Like, yes, health span and longevity, very important, but it's hard to motivate yourself day in and day out now for adding an extra 10 years of your life several decades from now. But what
Agreed.
you can look at is how is this going to impact the quality of my life? How am I going to feel every day? And that's something that is immeasurably valuable. And you mentioned on something about looking good. And I think a lot of people have this negative connotation around aesthetics and body composition, and they don't want to be seen as a person that's all about vanity. And I share a completely different opinion on this, dude. I think that everyone should strive to look good. Even if you're married, even if it's not a sexual attraction thing, it's about being confident in your own skin. And that carries forward into the office, that carries forward into all these different areas of your life of having pride and confidence in your body and how you look. And that also really drives a lot of benefits when it comes to opportunities, because if you're looking at doing a potential business partnership, or if you're looking to hire someone or be hired by someone, well, if you look like someone who takes care of themselves, someone who's vibrant, someone who is energized and has this high level of vitality, that's going to come off completely different as far as first impressions and honestly just your total, your relationship with any colleague or business partner, than someone who's overweight and looks like their health is falling apart.
I love it. Yeah, look good, feel good, and it's real. Like it's real, and it impacts results in, again, whatever area of life. The other thing, just to close on mindset, is I think it's important for anyone to have like a purpose statement around different areas of life. So mine around health is energy for my kids and my grandkids. I have a lot of kids. I have no grandkids for the audience, but that is my way of saying, okay, I want to have energy after a long work day, after I'm pouring in my business doing things. I want to have energy tonight, right, this weekend, but also in 20, 30, 40 years from now. So I want to take care of myself for the long term. So just thinking about that purpose statement and why you're doing what you're doing in any area of life is so important. And Ryan's given you a lot to think about there.
Yeah,
So
man, I love it.
awesome. All right, Ryan, I want to switch gears a little bit. So we talked about the why, the mindset, things like that, which is really important. But you referenced some of them earlier, but I want to step through these. What are some of the key components of health that you teach people on?
Well, that's a pretty broad question, but there's, I'd say, kind of six pillars if I was to distill it down to some broad categories. You mentioned mindset. And that plays a huge role in the work I do with patients because all behavior change starts in the mind. And I could give someone the best nutrition protocol, the best exercise plan, the best recommendations and strategies, but they got to actually do the damn thing, Phil. And so mindset is key as far as the psychology of behavior change and shifting your identity to really drive these changes long term and sustain these changes, because that's really what is the name of the game in my industry. It's not that hard to lose weight. What's hard to do is lose weight and keep it off long term. The long-term success rates for weight loss are just absolutely abysmal. I mean, we're talking 95% plus of people that lose weight gain it all back within a 2-year window. So that's where I start with people, is really diving deep into mindset. And then the next pillar I'll go through is around your sleep, because I do think sleep is the foundation of health. And no matter how perfect your diet is, no matter how much you exercise, nothing can negate the negative impact of poor sleep or not enough sleep. And so that can break down into a number of things we could dive into, but sleep is huge. Next is nutrition. Obviously, what we put into our bodies is a fundamental aspect to our biochemistry and our gut health and all sorts of other things. You got movement, which is kind of a big pillar that can encompass resistance training, cardio, just getting enough steps, just getting off your ass and not being sedentary all day. And also encompass things like mobility work and balance and flexibility and all that sort of stuff. So we got those four so far. I believe a big pillar of health is lab testing. You got to know what's going on under the hood. You got to have an idea of what is going on in your body that you should be working on proactively to prevent future disease pathology. But also, like, do you have certain mineral imbalances or vitamin deficiencies or exposure to toxins and heavy metals and mold and other things that could be derailing your health progress, even if you're eating well, even if you're exercising? So I love using a lot of functional medicine labs, and we could dive into which ones I use and why. And then the last pillar on this that I think is also very, very important is just your daily habits and routines. Like, how do you start the day? What are some good rituals you have in the morning that anchor you mentally and physically? How do you end the day? What are some good practices in the evening you use to promote better sleep quality and unwind and de-stress and relax? What are things you do sprinkled in throughout the day that really enhance your health and really work towards your goals? I think that's kind of broad scope, encompasses a lot of the key pillars. And then we can break down each one of those as you wish, Phil.
I want to step through them. So I want to talk about what are some things within those pillars that are just kind of easy to implement, maybe some things to avoid, and then if we have that time at the end, maybe we'll get more advanced. So number one, maybe we talked about mindset enough. I will say that through my coaching and working with Ryan, he is so focused on sustainability, and he does not want me to do things that are extreme if they're not going to be lasting. He's like, Phil, set this up in a way that you're going to be able to continue to do it over and over again. Make it more convenient for you so that you sustain it versus go extreme and just only do it for a month and stop. So, but what other mindset factors or things to think about if we haven't talked about it already?
Well, you started the conversation with having a strong why, having a deep-rooted purpose that goes beyond any surface-level intentions. And that's something that's huge. It could be your family, it could be your community, it could be the impact and example you want to set for those around you. One thing that I use on the mindset piece, Phil, which I think you've experienced, although I'd encourage you to do it again, is a type of holotropic breath work I've developed called apex breath work. And this is the most epic modality of all time that I've ever discovered to shift your state of consciousness that to allow you to really work through limiting beliefs and all sorts of self-sabotaging behaviors and all sorts of past traumas, as well as really to shift that identity, like I talked about. Because most people think, Phil, that they struggle with their habits, they struggle with their exercise, they struggle with staying on track with their health because they're too busy or they're too tired or a bunch of other reasons. But the real reason people struggle is because their identity, they don't identify as a healthy, fit person. And that really starts to limit their ability to carry these practices forward and really embody these changes in a way that is very lasting. And so I developed a specific style of breath work that is the easiest and quickest way I could describe it is it's almost like a plant medicine ceremony with no drugs. And it allows you to really go deep and dissolve the ego and open up your heart and work through all these things in a very profound way in this somatic experience, this experiential journey that has provided better outcomes than anything I've ever witnessed in terms of actual shifts in your mindset. So I use that. I also use a number of other things like a morning formula as a practice I use to help anchor you mentally. There's also other tools in this kind of realm that I found really, really helpful.
And I just will say, I have done the breath work. It is absolutely fantastic. Don't go and talk to anyone like right after because you're on such a high, let reality set in again and like adjust again. But it is absolutely fantastic. And I love what you said about identity, quite frankly, is if you talk to someone and how you talk to yourself is so important, and you're creating the like how you talk to yourself is creating your feelings and your actions. We talked about it on different podcasts a couple of weeks ago, but creating an identity that is healthy, I think, is so important, and the breath work is a great way to help that. So I want to jump to sleep, Ryan. And before we go into that, I'll just share with the audience that my mindset on sleep, maybe I don't know when it was, 5 or 10 years ago, I'm a numbers person. So I'm doing the math and I'm saying I can save an hour of sleep every single night. And if I do that every single day for the year, that's 365. I just gained how many days or weeks through my year. I'm basically living longer without sleep. I think you're going to tell me that is completely messed up in so many ways, Ryan. So why is sleep so important? You said it's the foundation, and what can we do to make it better?
Well, your mindset is only flawed, Phil, if you're not getting enough adequate, high quality sleep for your body. So there are ways to say, hey, I'm sleeping currently 8.5 hours a night. And there's things I can do to increase my REM cycles and my deep cycles and actually get more restorative rest in 7.5 hours than in 8.5 and buy back that hour of my day. And that's a very fair goal and a fantastic thing to look at. But when it comes to just sheer numbers, most people, if they are skipping an hour of sleep that they need, are going to have suboptimal output for the waking 16 or 17 other hours. And so it's going to be a total net negative in their lives in the short term and the long term. When you're not getting enough high quality sleep, your blood sugar and cravings are a total mess. So you develop blood sugar dysregulation like that of a diabetic. And you crave all sorts of sugar and processed foods, and so that makes it much more challenging to stay on track with your nutrition. It lowers your metabolism, so your energy expenditure day to day is inhibited, which is obviously not good for your metabolic health. It also creates all sorts of problems with your cognitive function, with focus, memory recall, can increase your chances down the line of dementia and other neurological problems. So that's obviously something most of us want to avoid. And I could go through a million other reasons of why sleep is immensely important, because when you're not sleeping enough, it negatively impacts your hormone balance. So for men, can tank your testosterone, which causes all sorts of other issues. For women, it could throw your estrogen and progesterone out of balance. We produce a lot of growth hormone while we're sleeping, and many people hear the word growth hormone and they probably think of bodybuilders getting
Right.
massively jacked, but growth hormone is important for a lot more than just building muscle. And yes, that's one key benefit. And I would encourage everyone to look at muscle different than bodybuilders, because muscle is really the organ of longevity, which we could talk about more. But growth hormone is also important for the regeneration of all tissues in the body. So having healthy skin and lack of wrinkles, having the recovery metrics to heal your gut and to recover from tweaks and injuries and any type of physical trauma. It can also really provide an enormous benefit as far as just staying youthful. Inside and outside. So that's not going to be produced at the same quantity if you're not getting as much deep sleep. And so there's a ton of good research, a ton of good resources for people to look at as far as books and information on why it's important. But I think if you talk to most people, they won't disagree sleep is important.
Yep.
So I think most of our time is better spent talking about how to improve it.
So how, yeah, okay. So how do you improve, yeah, how do you improve your sleep? What do we do?
You have lifestyle and you have environment. So let's start with the environment piece. Building what I call a sleep sanctuary. And there's really a few key characteristics. You want it to be cold, because we do not sleep well in the heat. So optimal sleeping temperatures is 62 to 68 degrees Fahrenheit. And you could use a mattress cooling pad or other technologies depending on your wife's preferences and your AC bill and other variables that go along with that. So you want it to be a cold room. You don't want to be overheated. Number two is it needs to be dark. So blackout curtains, you don't want any ambient light in the room. No night lights, no devices that are beaming lights out, no alarm clocks that are lighting up the room. And you can wear an eye mask if blackout curtains are too much of a challenge for you. You want it to be quiet or have like a white noise machine, but you obviously want sleep disturbances from sound. And you don't want a bunch of electronics in your room. Wi-Fi routers, EMFs, TVs, all that sort of nonsense. Not good for your sleep. So those are some of the key environmental pieces. As far as the lifestyle piece, you got to set yourself up for success, just like anything in life, Phil. So if you do all the wrong things during the day, you're indoors all day, you're not getting any sunshine, you're watching TV till late into the night, you're scrolling on TikTok videos right before bed, you're literally setting yourself up for failure. So you can't have your head hit the pillow and expect to sleep like a champ. You've done all the wrong things leading up to that point. So we want to reverse engineer that. And take the right actions and make the right habits and rituals so that we set ourselves up for optimal sleep. So that comes back to what's called our circadian rhythm, our body's 24-hour biological clock, where we really are these diurnal animals that operate on these light and dark cycles. And so first thing people can do that really helps with your sleep quality among thousands of other benefits is upon waking, get outside for some morning sunlight. You want to be outside, even if it's cloudy. Because window glass distorts the spectrum and reduces the intensity of light. So you want to go outside your yard, your patio, your balcony, whatever, and no sunglasses, because that'll also distort the benefits here. And you want to be outside for morning sun. You don't have to stare straight at the sun. You could just be outside in that natural sunlight, and the lux, the intensity from the sun, anchors that circadian rhythm. It tells your brain, it tells your body, okay, it's daytime. And that starts to rev up your metabolism and starts to create this whole hormonal cascade to boost your mood, your focus. It helps with your adrenal function and your hormone levels. And that also sets this very important trigger that pays dividends at the end of the day when you go to sleep, because now it's actually going to improve your circadian rhythm. It that
How long do we need to get outside in the sun in the morning to get it set?
That depends on the intensity of sun. So on a cloudy day, if it's very
Ohio.
overcast, yeah. So I'm talking to you here, Phil. You typically want to be out there for at least 15 to 20 minutes if it's a cloudy day. And more is always better, but that's a good minimum. If it's a sunny day, it's a clear skies, you got a bright sun coming in, 5 to 10 minutes is sufficient.
Awesome.
And then
What else?
throughout the course of the day, I also encourage people to get out and move their bodies. And sunlight during the day is also helpful for other reasons, but getting some form of physical exercise in can really help to wear your body out in a positive way, so that by the time you get ready for bed, you can fall asleep. What happens to a lot of people is they get this tired and wired sensation. And that's because they're inside in front of a screen doing cognitive demanding tasks, but not actually exerting any physical energy. They're not actually lifting weights or doing any cardio or doing any physical movements. And that sets you up for failure with your sleep. So you want to be doing some sort of physical fitness, lots of options in that umbrella. You want to be getting some time away from screens, away from these artificial junk lights, out in natural environment, which is also going to help. And one of the things I think is very overlooked and underrated is eating an early dinner. You want to have at least 4 hours, ideally closer to five, between finishing dinner and going to sleep. And not only will this help with your sleep quality, Phil, it's also really going to help with your body composition, your gut health, your hormone balance, your longevity. A million other benefits. So I eat dinner at like 3:30, dude. I am an early dinner fanatic. I don't expect everyone to be as crazy as I am, but it is not good to eat dinner at 8 p.m. and then go to bed at 9:30 or 10.
Amazing. So that is a lot on sleep. And I so cold temp, dark, quiet, no electronics, set the circadian rhythm in the morning, get some sunlight, active during the day, physical exercise, a lot there on sleep. So thanks for going
Oh,
through all
yeah,
that,
that's just
Ryan.
the tip of the iceberg, Phil. We could talk an hour just on a bunch of other strategies. But last couple of things I'll share before we move on. Being outside around sunset also helps for the same reasons I talked about with that sunrise effect.
Okay.
And then trying to really minimize your exposure to these artificial junk lights late into the evening. So not watching TV, not being on your computer. If you do use a device like a phone or computer, having night mode on so it blocks some of that blue light. Because blue light is very helpful during the day, keeps us alert and energized. The sun emits a lot of blue spectrum, but at night, we don't want to be alert and energized. We want to be relaxing. And so that suppresses our melatonin production, one of our key sleep hormones. So wearing some blue light blocking glasses or just avoiding a lot of these artificial lights, overhead lights do the same thing as the screens. So you want to be really mindful of that in the couple hours leading up to bedtime.
So sleep is the foundation, and when you said that, you also talked when you got into sleep, you talked about how much it impacts your cravings and what you eat in addition to movement. So the next item is nutrition. So what are some, why is it so important, and what are some easy to do things on nutrition or pay attention to and to avoid?
So there's no one perfect diet for everyone. So nutrition becomes a little more nuanced, where I use different functional medicine labs as well as talking to people about their goals and where they're at and their challenges to really design customized nutrition protocols for my patients. On a high level, people just need to do what they already know. Like that's going to be the 80-20 principle here. They don't need any novel advice to get the ball rolling. And the problem is that it's not the lack of knowledge. It's that they don't execute on what they already know they should do. So everyone knows you should be eating whole foods and eliminating processed junk foods. Everyone knows they shouldn't be eating ice cream late at night and should be, focusing on high protein during their meals and having a good fasting window day to day. The vast majority of humans have a decent enough understanding of nutrition fundamentals. The challenge is more so in implementation and execution.
Awesome. So, honestly, I think through our time together, I would say that's mostly true. I learned the things I've learned are probably more detailed, but at a high level, we already knew most of it. So we just had to make it change our mindset and get the discipline around it to actually do it. So, I love it. The next thing, so movement and types of movement too, I think, because you talked about how sleep impacts this. So the fourth pillar, if I go through them, so we had mindset, sleep, nutrition, and now movement. What are some key things people should be doing and avoiding?
Really, three buckets you want to put movement into. You got resistance training, which I would say is the highest priority for everyone. And that's just weight training. And it doesn't have to be weights. You can do push-ups and body weight exercises. You can do all sorts of things like resistance bands, but doing some amount of resistance training to build some lean muscle. This is going to be the most efficient form of exercise for fat loss and improving your metabolic health. It's going to help with your bone density. It's going to help with your overall metabolism. And by having more muscle, you really do improve the aging process because muscle is our body's metabolic currency. And what that means, Phil, is the more muscle, more lean mass you have on your body, the faster your metabolism, the more energy you burn 24/7 while you're sleeping, while you're sitting at your desk, while you're exercising. And that enables you to have a lot more sustainability with your nutrition, where you could eat, enjoy more delicious food without clogging up your system and gaining weight. It also is very key for your cardiovascular system, your endocrine system, meaning your hormones, and a number of other reasons for functional fitness and just being able to perform daily acts of living as we get older. Having enough muscle is key to carry groceries in from the car, get up and down the stairs, get off the couch, all these things that people take for granted when they're in their 20s and 30s. But if you talk to someone in their 70s that's struggling with these things, you realize, man, if they had planned a little better ahead of time and built some muscle and strength going into their later years, they would have far more independence and a far higher quality of life. And it's very difficult to build muscle and strength after a certain point. It's not that easy to have a 75-year-old guy or gal start doing resistance training and see substantial results, whereas you can absolutely in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, and even your 50s. So that's going to be bucket number one that I would say is the highest priority. 3 to 4 days a week is optimal, but start where you're at. Once or twice a week is far better than nothing. And then the next bucket would be some type of zone two cardio. And this is really good for your heart health. And that could be going for a jog. That could be going on a piece of cardio equipment. I encourage my patients to find ways to get out and move their bodies that they enjoy. So some examples for me, Phil, is I love to surf. I go mountain biking every week. I play pickleball with our mutual friend Jake. I get out and do things that incorporate cardio, but are also very fun and engaging that don't feel like a chore, but actually bring a lot of joy to my life. And that's going to include kind of zone two steady state, but also some interval style stuff, where you can, most of the sports I mentioned, you're like sprinting at certain points, then resting at certain points. And that's very good for maximizing the metabolic burn from the cardio. And then the third bucket that people underestimate. It's just freaking steps, man. Just moving. Walking is truly man's best medicine. And I cannot encourage people enough to just spend as little time seated as possible. So, one thing we geared you up with is a nice walking work desk. A game changer if you do a lot of computer work and you also want to keep your body in motion. Most people that don't have a dorky walking work desk like you and I, Phil, can just take their calls outside while walking. If it's not a video call, like just pick up the phone and walk around your neighborhood or your yard or somewhere around your office space. That's going to really help. And just trying to get that step count up, more steps, the better, to really improve all these metrics.
I'm working on it, Ryan. I'm tracking my steps more closely. Ryan heckled me last week on our call because I wasn't getting enough steps in. So now everyone knows. So if you see me walking more late at night, it's because I told him I'd get my steps in. So I'm working on it. I want to come back a little bit to the resistance training because that was a big shift for me because my workouts, my exercise before we talked was really just cardio or running. And I thought that was just it. But resistance training has been a key shift for me because I think, first of all, you said earlier too, the muscle is the organ of longevity, but I also think it's so impactful in the very short term on burning fat and other things and energy levels, testosterone, things like that. So that's just personally for me been a big shift. Of course, the cardio talked about, and I'm working on the movement throughout the day, Ryan. So I promise I'll keep working on that. I'm committed to it.
Yeah, you're doing great, Phil, but you're right. A lot of people, when they have a desire to lose weight or improve their body composition, they're like, all right, I'm going to start going for runs. I'm going to start doing some cardio. And there's nothing wrong with that. And cardio can be great for mental health, just as a way to re reduce stress and anxiety, boost your mood, get some endorphins flowing. And it can also be great for cardiovascular health. And you do burn some calories. But really, most people should be steering their effort towards resistance training. It's such a better ROI on your time and effort than any type of cardio. So I would prioritize that first and foremost, and then fill in some cardio on your rest days or when you have an opportunity to do so.
I want to talk about, so we hit mindset, sleep, nutrition, movement, lab testing. Why is it important to do lab testing? And you mentioned that you could help direct people in this one too.
You're not testing, you're guessing. A lot of people come to me for help, Phil, and they're taking all these supplements and they have no idea why. And they're just like, well, I heard this on a podcast or I saw this on this blog or Instagram post, so I bought it and started using it. I'm like, dude, you don't need this before. It's actually counterintuitive and harming you because you're taking a surplus of something you have enough of or taking something that's actually working against you. So when it comes to dialing in your nutrition, your supplementation, of various lifestyle components as well, you want to see what's going on in your body. And we have amazing technology now that you can run very affordable lab testing. And so there's a few labs I run for almost everyone I work with in my practice. First is comprehensive blood work, just getting a very good understanding. Where's your lipid profile as far as your cholesterol, your ApoB, your triglycerides, your particle sizes? And that's very helpful for preventing plaque buildup in the arteries and heart disease down the line. Where's your metabolic health markers, your blood sugar stability, your insulin, all these markers that help to assess where you're at as far as being pre-diabetic or if you're actually really metabolically healthy. And that can help to fine-tune how much carbohydrates you should or shouldn't be eating. There's also inflammatory markers to check. Are you in a chronic state of inflammation? There's a number of things like hormones that really dictate how we feel. So it's very difficult to build muscle and burn fat as a guy if you have low testosterone. So seeing where you're at to note, do I need some natural testosterone support using herbs and nutrients to boost my levels? For women, it's very hard to sleep well at night and feel good day to day and manage anxiety and other mental health challenges if you have what's called estrogen dominance. Too much estrogen, not enough progesterone. And that also impacts body comp. And so there's a number of things, and testosterone is important for women too. We usually think of it as a male hormone, but women have a significant amount of testosterone in relationship to their other sex hormones. And testosterone for women is very key for sex drive, for overall just motivation and determination day to day, for energy levels. There's a lot of women that have low T that I help improve all these metrics substantially by implementing natural ways to boost their underlying testosterone levels. And then there's all sorts of nutrient testing, for vitamin D3 and zinc and copper and magnesium and all these essential nutrients that
Yep.
massively influence our risk of disease down the line, improve our immune system, improve a million other things.
And
So that's kind of the blood testing bucket.
one thing that you said there is like people, to me, in my opinion, people are diagnosing health issues or imbalances without knowing it's a health issue at the core, and they're trying to fix it with in other ways when really, if they understood their labs, maybe there's something there they could do. Is that a fair understanding?
Yeah, to articulate that differently, a lot of people are trying to mask symptoms with pharmaceutical drugs. So if you go into your primary care physician and say, hey, doc, I don't feel well with my mood. I got some depression. I feel like I'm very low day to day. They won't actually say, oh, why is your underlying level of serotonin or dopamine or neurotransmitters low? Let's go to the root cause and resolve that. They'll say, here's an SSRI, which, big scale studies have shown don't even actually help people much more than placebo. But And they'll do that. Or if you have, let's say, chronic joint pain, rather than saying, okay, let's figure out how to bring in some anti-inflammatory foods in your diet and let's reduce that inflammation and get to the root cause, they'll say, okay, here's a drug. Take some aspirin, take some Tylenol, take some Advil. If you have chronic headaches or migraines, same kind of thing. They'll just try and mask the pain, mask the symptom, rather than figuring out why do you have headaches on a regular basis? Maybe it's magnesium deficiency. Maybe it's mineral imbalances. Maybe it's some sort of toxic exposure. So that's really the difference between allopathic medicine and functional medicine is allopathic medicine uses pharmaceutical drugs to mask symptoms. Functional medicine aims to address the root cause, really identify what underlying imbalances are causing these symptoms. Let's fix that so that you don't need to take anything long term. Not only do you not need drugs, you don't even need supplements forever. We can actually fix the problem and you could feel good for the rest of your life without having to take anything.
I love it. And so the lab testing, how can people, like, what's the best approach to doing this for people so they can just understand it? Where can they go, or how might they do that?
I would encourage people to work with a practitioner. And I don't just say that because I'm in this industry. I say that because it's helpful to hire a skilled professional no matter what you do. Just like you wouldn't fix your own car, you take it to an auto mechanic, or you wouldn't do certain things that you could hire a professional for, like file your own taxes when you could hire a CPA. When it comes to your health, it's even more complex than all these other things that we hire professionals for. So really hiring an expert that can teach you what everything means, what actions to take, and how to course correct different imbalances is a fantastic ROI for anyone. And so I encourage people to find a naturopath or someone who specializes in functional medicine to really take more of a holistic look at this stuff. I could order labs for anyone that wants, blood work or anything like that. I'm more than happy to do so. Obviously, I work with people all over the country via telemedicine and happy to help anyone that's interested in pursuing that. But you can also find local providers. You can find all, there's lots of other people that do what I do. You don't have to hire me in order to get help with this stuff.
Awesome. So the last item you said is habits and routines. So how does that help your health, and what does that mean? Beginning to end, you said.
Well, let me just go back to the other pillar just to wrap up a few things. So there's a series of functional medicine labs I run in addition to blood work based on the person's situation. So something I'll run a lot is called an organic acids test fill. And this is something people could order on my website if they wanted to just run the test and get an idea where they're at. And this assesses your microbiome. So any imbalances in your gut health, like candida overgrowth, yeast overgrowth, mold or mycotoxin exposure, SIBO, pathogenic bacteria, all sorts of things. But it also looks at a series of other markers like your vitamins, your amino acids, your serotonin and dopamine, your mitochondrial health. It assesses this whole variety of data points that you can't really get very well through blood work. So I think that complements blood work really well. And then depending on the person, I'll also look at food sensitivity panels, minerals and metals testing. There's a series of other functional medicine labs that are at-home tests that I mail to people. They do the sample. It's very easy. It's usually urine, hair, saliva. Something we're not having to do a blood draw, send it back to the lab, and it gives us a whole bunch of really good data for very, very low cost, relatively. I mean, most of these tests are a couple hundred bucks. So that's something that I'd also encourage people to look at if they run their labs, let's say their blood work, they run blood work and everything looks okay. But they're like, man, I got this terrible bloating or IBS or all sorts of gas and stomach problems. Or maybe they're like, man, I have issues around anxiety or depression or a number of other types of mental health challenges. Those aren't always going to be identified in a blood test. Sometimes you have to look at other functional medicine testing to see what's going on. It's not easy to assess your gut health via blood. You need a whole different test. So that's the other thing I'll share just as we wrap up that pillar, where there's a lot of good functional medicine testing that a lot of medical doctors don't know about or don't teach people about that I think is really low-hanging fruit for people to address some of these common ailments that so many individuals suffer from.
And I'll just say on before we jump to the next pillar, Ryan, is the like hiring a skilled professional that understands this stuff. And like the way I'm thinking about it, so I'll work with Ryan for a year and then we'll probably continue in some way, shape, or form, but not just that 1 year look at what the impact on me, but the education I'm receiving as we speak on this call, but also on all of our calls that was very specific and customized to me and my health and what I can do. I can now apply that for many, many years to come. So the return on investment on that is very, very high. So just some a different way to, like people are thinking, okay, I can buy this expensive food or get these lab tests or hire a coach and all these costs. Okay, but these are things that you can apply for the rest of your life. So the return on investment truly just in dollars, as we talked about earlier, I think is a payback plus the opportunity costs as you talked about earlier. So I just wanted to add that in because it's very real for me because I'm seeing it very directly. So.
Well, thank you for that feedback and insight, Phil. I completely agree with you. And there's a lot of free resources. Like I have a podcast, The Ryan Kennedy Show, YouTube channel where I talk about all this stuff. And people can educate themselves. The benefit of hiring a practitioner is it does save you time from having to listen to dozens or hundreds of hours of content or read all these books. But there's information on this stuff for free that I encourage people to explore because there's no better topic to know about in life than your health. Like these are, like you said, are lifelong skills and knowing what to eat, how to move, how to improve your energy, how to improve your quality of life, how to live a longer life. This is more important than any knowledge, in my opinion, like when it comes to just living the human experience in the best possible way.
And I would just say independent, so that's your opinion, but independent of anyone's opinion on what is most like the most important bucket of their life, right? People might say it might be different things, but independent of what you say, health is the foundation to be able to do those things for any other bucket. So like if you think faith or family or anything else is more important, I can agree with that, but you have to take care of yourself to be able to do those things, right? So it's the foundation. You got to take care of yourself to be successful in those in any area of life, in my opinion. So, talk to me about habits and routines.
So there's a number of lifestyle practices that I find just provide outsized returns when it comes to feeling better, looking better, living a longer life. One that is near and dear to my heart is sensible sun exposure. So Phil, we talked about this, in Ohio, winter, not exactly the easiest way to go get some sun, but nonetheless, we're solar powered animals. And by getting outside in some sun, exposing our skin to the sun, like think of your body like a solar panel. A lot of people recognize that helps with vitamin D, which is very true and very important. But that near infrared light from the sun also stimulates your mitochondria. These are the power plants of your cells to increase cellular energy. It also helps rebalance your brain chemicals to enhance your mood. And many people have felt this. They go on vacation, they lay out at the beach for 30 minutes or an hour, and they feel better. You just feel happier. It improves all sorts of metrics related to your recovery, your sleep, your metabolism. And so I really strongly advocate for sensible sun exposure because it's not advisable to go lay out at the beach for 4 hours and get burned up to a crisp if you haven't been getting any sun recently, because burns are bad for your skin. And the dermatology industry has done an incredible job scaring people about the benefits of the sun, which is just, I'm doing my best to work against them, Phil. And so I like people to go out for very short periods of time because you don't need a long duration to get these benefits. And if you're spurning your skin from the sun or hot water or the stovetop, that does create oxidative damage on your skin. So you don't want to accelerate your skin aging. So I encourage people to get their morning sun, which you're not going to get sunburned in morning sun, but a midday sun around solar noon between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. This is when the sun is high in the sky. This is when you're going to deliver the most of these benefits I'm describing. And so that could be going out with your shirt off for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, depending on your proximity to the equator, the time of year, your skin tone, and your tolerance to the sun. I'll typically lay out with max skin exposure in my backyard on my back for 15 or 20 minutes, and then on my front for 15 or 20 minutes. And I'll answer emails or be on the phone or still be getting work done, just like I would in my office inside. But I'm getting all these benefits I'm talking about. So that's a very, very powerful practice that people should certainly prioritize to the best of their ability based on their weather conditions and where they live, The other thing I'm a huge fan of is heat and cold exposure. So getting in the sauna is just incredible for your health. The amount of research out of Finland on the longevity benefits, the heart health benefits, the detoxification benefits, the brain health benefits is just astounding. So, even just 4 days per week of sauna usage has been shown to reduce your risk of all-cause mortality by like 50 to 60%. Just mean the chances you die from anything go way down if you're using the sauna a few times per week, and it's enjoyable. It feels great. You just sweat things out. You feel amazing. You feel refreshed afterwards. So, I encourage people to get in the sauna, whether you go to a
And
local gym, or you get your own, like we got for you, Phil. That's a complete game changer.
I went off the deep end on it. Ryan convinced me, but honestly, it's been phenomenal. And first of all, I do it after I work out. I really enjoy it. I can read, meditate, pray, whatever. Like I can, I'm like, I like to get multiple things done at once, and I'm in there, and I can get not just the sauna exposure that you just talked about, but other things too. So I have gone off the deep end, and it's been great. I absolutely love it, quite frankly. It's very enjoyable.
And post-workout is one of the best ways to maximize the gains and the benefits and the results of your training session. So by popping in there post-workout, you crank up your growth hormone and your other hormones like testosterone for men, really helps to balance things out for ladies as well. It accelerates your fat burning. It has all sorts of benefits. So I mean, it's something I'm a huge advocate of. And then cold exposure is great too. Whether it's a cold shower, a cold plunge, jumping in a lake or river or ocean, getting your body cold and in that type of environment, even just for a few minutes, really provides you with a ton of benefits. And if I were to choose one or the other, the sauna is certainly superior in my eyes as far as the health benefits, and it's a lot more enjoyable to use
Yes.
than cold exposure, like a cold plunge. But they're both great for different reasons, and those are some other lifestyle habits and routines that I'm a huge proponent of. Outside of the sun, sauna, and cold, there's a lot of things just day to day that I think are really helpful. Just as far as like morning and evening routines, and we could dive deeper as deep as you want to go, Phil, as far as like mapping out someone's schedule and what some of these things, how some of these things
Give
could fit in.
me two or three more big ones for folks, because I'm trying to keep it to a time, but this is amazing stuff. But like, what are two or three other really big ones, Ryan?
Another big one I use with a lot of my patients is called trigger sessions. And this is just brief bursts of movement sprinkled in throughout your day. It's not a workout. You're not going to sweat, but it's literally as simple as in between your calls, in between your appointments, getting off your butt and doing a quick set of push-ups or a quick set of body weight squats, and then getting right back to work. And the reason I call them trigger sessions, Phil, is because it triggers this upregulation in your blood flow to the brain, which helps with your cognitive function, your productivity, triggers an increase in your metabolism to help with body composition. It triggers this mood boost. It triggers all these benefits that I think is really underrated. And I need you, we're talking like 30 to 45 seconds of movement sprinkled in a few times throughout the day, provides outsized returns. So that's something that's huge for performance and metabolic health. And then the other thing we could end on here is just your breathing mechanics. You know, we talked about the breath work piece, which I think is really crucial as far as doing like a long form deep breath work practice and all the benefits you can get. But one of the things people underestimate is just how you breathe day to day, while you're sleeping, while you're working, while you're just going through your day. Nasal breathing is imperative for proper nervous system function, for good stress management, for proper oxygenation of your cells. So just trying to not breathe through your mouth unless you're having a conversation. Keeping your mouth shut, breathing through your nose, as simple as that sounds, there is a tremendous amount of research and evidence to show this is just a total game changer for people. And then there's other like short breath works, you know, that can calm down the body, like box breathing and 4-7-8 breath, as well as energizing breath works I'll use that are, you know, short 5-minute practices that just feel almost like a cup of coffee, but naturally, that just get your dopamine boosted, your energy up, and that are really helpful in the afternoon to sprinkle in for people. So those are just a few other examples that I find are just total awesome strategies people can implement.
And I would encourage people to just go through, you know, go through this episode and like, what is, you know, Ryan talked about the six different pillars. What is one thing you can do, you know, this quarter or whenever within that pillar? Or maybe like, oh, that's pretty easy. I didn't even know that, so I can implement two. But what are one or two things you can do and start to, you know, Ryan helped us prioritize those items, but maybe there's one thing this quarter and then you'll add another thing within that pillar next quarter or whatever it might be. I'm sure this can be overwhelming for people. It's been very, very informative. And I think that'll depend on where people are in their health journey, right? Maybe they knew 50% of this, but not the other 50%, or maybe they knew 20%. It depends. But just pick a few things and put them in place is what I would say.
And that's great advice, Phil, because it's hard to overhaul your entire life overnight. I really encourage this incremental change. So taking one or two things, implementing it immediately this week, and taking another couple things, implementing it next week, and creating this compounding effect. Because as many topics as we touched on, Phil, dude, this is the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we didn't talk about stress management. We didn't talk about environment. We didn't talk about detoxification. We didn't talk about nootropics. I mean, there's so many different things that we could dive into that are really valuable for people. But again, don't try and implement everything at once. When I'm working with a patient, I guide them through a 6 or 12 month program to really bring these things in incrementally, because that's what drives all the benefits. And you don't get this information overload, you don't feel overwhelmed. And it's one of the most important things when it comes to behavior change.
And that's honestly, that's exactly what Ryan has done with us over the last 10 months or so, is just small incremental steps that have been sustainable, and then we can keep adding on, and it's hopefully compounding. So
And then you
amazing.
look back, like you, Phil, you look back over, you know, 10 months, you're like, holy smokes, man, I've changed
Right.
almost everything. I've changed a lot of stuff about my health, but it hasn't felt like it was that big of a shift, because it's been very slow and steady.
Correct. And again, I'll put another plug in, but the education I've gotten in the last 10 months has been incredible through the process. So I want to shift gears, Ryan, to the closing kind of segment here. So key factor, like if you were to identify key factor of success, whether that's for you, for health, for your business, what is a key factor of success for people?
I think it's really comes back to mindset and all this stuff, man. All behavior change starts in the mind. And so whether it's business systems, whether it's relationships, whether it's health, it really comes back to working through and identifying the limiting beliefs, some of your self-sabotaging behaviors, some of the things that are holding you back up here in the mind. Because thoughts become feelings, feelings become words, words become actions. And so by really working through that in all of these different buckets, I think that's really the starting place for improving your life.
Love it. What is a person? So you talk about all these habits, you have them all dialed in, I'm sure, but what is a personal habit that you are working on for yourself?
Working on like eliminating or working on adding?
Yes.
I
Either one.
want to talk to you more often, Phil. I mean, I'm just trying to get you on the phone more frequently, learn from you about real estate, get some more business advice. So, I mean, that's really my life's mission right now.
Ryan and I, we've kept it pretty clean and not as humorous, but we like to joke with each other quite a bit and enjoy it. And quite frankly, he's fun to work with. So, but I know you're full of, you know what. So what's a per you got, you can't come on here and talk about all these habits and things that people need to work on and say, you don't have anything you're working on yourself. So what are you either working on or trying to eliminate?
Yeah, so I'll give you one I'm working on, and I'll keep it health specific because while there's a lot of things I'm working on the business fronts and building this new company structure and doing a whole bunch of other things on the health front, one thing I'm working on is just phone free time. I think the phone is just such a easy just especially if you're, I run an online practice. So whenever you have an online business or entrepreneur, it's so easy to get dragged into checking emails late at night, checking messages, getting back to people, especially with the nature of my work where I really enjoy helping people. I really enjoy what I do. So it doesn't feel like a chore always. Sometimes it's like, oh, I actually want to give this person some input or some peace of mind and not have to wait till Monday or wait till tomorrow. So something I'm working on, Phil, is just turning my phone off entirely. Reasonable hour like 8 p.m., 7:30, and spending phone-free time with my wife and really having a better, more presence, I would say, rather than having like conversation and checking something every 10 or 15 minutes. So that's a personal kind of, I guess you could put it in the health bucket, but it's also other buckets, I guess. And then the other thing I'm working on, is really around like some epic adventures I'm planning. So I got a couple big personal things coming up. Got a wedding coming up and honeymoon and bachelor party and really putting the pieces together to create some epic memories with my favorite people.
I love it, man. That's awesome. And yeah, the phone off thing is so big. So perfect. What about a favorite, I'll say favorite personal development book, whether that's business or health related, whatever, wherever you want to go with it.
The Road Less Stupid. Keith Cunningham. It is a phenomenal book. It's very business oriented, but there are a lot of things that apply to personal development, and I absolutely love that book.
Awesome. You didn't mention it, but I know you have all kinds of resources, cookbook, things like that. So, Ryan, how can people find out more about you?
RyanKennedyHealth.com is the easiest resource. That's my website. You can dive deeper into all this stuff. Ryan Kennedy is the name of the podcast, the YouTube channel. You can find me on social media, Instagram, Facebook, all that sort of jazz.
And you've committed to, if I tag you when we post this, that there's going to be millions of followers that I'll get from this. So no, I'm kidding, Ryan. Ryan, thanks so much. This has been so informative. I've learned so much from you over the last, again, several months, but also today you've just piled on. So I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure, Phil.
Thank you for listening to the Mole Real Estate and Business Podcast. We hope you found today's episode helpful. If you know current or aspiring investors or entrepreneurs or anyone that would benefit from today's episode, we appreciate you sharing it with them or, better yet, providing us a 5-star review. To learn more about Moller Real Estate, visit our website at www.mollerre.com. You can also sign up for our newsletter or local events via our website. In closing, I encourage you to be purposeful in all areas of life, educate yourself, network with others that have been successful, take action, and lead. Thank you.